Feel the presence of the Lord in the house of the Lord. I like that. And one thing that I want, and this is important to me, I don't care what you're doing. Preachers coming here, singers coming here, I want you to have liberty. I've said this before, and I'll say it for you that don't know me, hadn't been around, it's not about me, it's about Him. Amen. If we ever get our mind on anything else and we start thinking it's about us, we're in trouble. Yes. It's all about God. We want God to be honored and glorified. This morning, Lord willing, I'm going to preach for just a few minutes on how to know for sure that you're going to heaven. This has been something that's been on my heart for several weeks. I've had several opportunities to witness. You know how people come up to you and, you know, they say, how you doing? Oh, and they say, oh, it's a good day, any day above dirt. I've got to where it flies out of my mouth so quick when they say that. They get a message. Because when I leave here, I'm going to be with the Lord. Now, I want to do what God wants me to do while I'm here, but I'm going to heaven, folks. I shared this with the church a week ago or 2 weeks ago. We were up at a Mexican restaurant, and I didn't know that my son had run into these two little boys until I had run into them myself, but there were two little boys in the bathroom, and they were in there plotting about how they were going to witness to the next person that come in. That's what Luke told me. Well, I didn't realize it was me. I went in the door of the bathroom, and this little boy real fast said, would you like to talk about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And I didn't quite understand it. It was so quick. And I said, what was that? He said, would you like to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. And then he hit me. That's not enough. It's not enough to be a preacher. It's not enough to be a deacon. It's not enough to be in the house of the Lord, even to be here on Sunday. And I stopped for just a minute. And I said, yeah, I'd like to talk about it. He's my Lord and Savior. And I know that I'm going to heaven, and there ain't a thing in the world that the devil can do about it. That little boy right out of that bathroom as quick as he came in. But there's another little boy in the stall over there, and he said, that's right. Now, folks, I want to make a statement to you, and this might sound arrogant, but when I get into this message this morning, I want you to be able to say the same thing. I am going to heaven. And I know that I'm going to heaven. And if I'm not going to heaven, I just want you to know something this morning. There ain't nobody going. Now, when you say that, you think, well, he's pretty arrogant. He thinks he's pretty good. In fact, I want you to understand the opposite of that is true. I know that I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good. Not because of anything that I've done, but because what our Lord has done for all of us. Now, I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and I just want to share some thoughts with you that God has pinned on my heart. And I don't know that I've ever preached on this exactly this way, but we want what God wants. Do you want what God wants? If you want anything else, you would not want that if you understood what God understood. Now, I want to read in Romans chapter number 5, and I want to read verse number 1 through verse number 11. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to give you the portion of this scripture. And then I want to just share the thoughts that God had given to me. And I love when God does this, that when God speaks to me, and it's just boom, 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 and that's it. And in 10 minutes, I have the outline, and God said, that's it. You don't need nothing else. Quit doing anything else. Don't try to do anything else with what I've given you. Just be obedient. And that's the way that I feel this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. I want to stop reading there now. You know, one thing to understand as I stand here and preach, it's just a preacher's responsibility to declare the whole counsel of God. This morning, I just want to be honest with you. If you're saved, this is going to be an amen message. Now, if God gives me one next week on what it means to be a Christian and how you know that you're saved, y'all say amen next week too, okay? But this morning, here's what I want you to understand something. I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven. Have you ever walked up and talked to somebody and they say, do you know for sure right now if you were to die that you'd go to heaven? There's a lot of people, when you walk up to them and say that, they cannot look you in the eye and say, yes, I know that I'm saved. Folks, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. There ain't nothing he can do about it. I can have trouble in my life. I can have heartache. I can have a separation. I can have tribulation. But one thing is certain, I am saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven. You know, as they sang that song this morning, and I begin to think about Brother Jimmy Beal. I begin to think about the people that are part of this church, that they're still part of this church. They're just over there in heaven with the Lord right now. They're rejoicing in a place that because I'm saved, I'm going to get to go to. You know, I could imagine you walk up to Brother Jimmy Beal. He used to love to testify for God. And you say, do you know that you're going to heaven? I believe Brother Jimmy would have said, I know that I'm going. And about 15 minutes later, you'd either get saved or you'd be saved or you'd wish you'd never asked the question. But have you ever asked anybody and they just look at you and they say, I'm good? You ever done that? I'm good. Well, I got news for you. You're not good. You're not good even if you're saved. You're saved because of what God did, not what you did. And if you can't say, I know that I know that I know, folks, you're not good. And here's the first thing I want you to understand this morning about going to heaven. It is not because you are good. You know, what we need to understand is we understand the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And we have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. You see, the fact is, you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. Some people, they try, they want to be good, they'll put forth New Year's resolutions, and they'll say, if I can just stop this, or if I can just do that, or if I can just go enough, or if I could just do enough. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven, because being good is not what qualifies you for heaven. You know, we have people today that get up in church and they preach about the works and they preach about the things that you do. And if you believe that being good enough, that you can be good enough to go to heaven, then why do people teach that you can lose your salvation? You see, I want you to understand something this morning. I don't believe that. I believe when you get saved by the grace of God and you become a born-again child of God, you are a born-again child of God, because it's not about being good. It's not about what you can offer. It's about what Jesus Christ did for us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we read it in Romans. If you go to the next verse, verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. Sometimes we beat ourselves up, and we wonder, and we struggle, and we fight. But sometimes what I think people need to realize is it's about what Jesus Christ did for us. And if we come to the point that we realize that he loves us just like we are, we'll quit trying to be like somebody else to find the approval of God. I want to be like him, not like somebody else. You know, I grew up for years as a young preacher, wondering why I wasn't like the other preachers that I was around. Wondering why I didn't sound like them. Wondering why I didn't look like them. Why I didn't act like them. Finally, one day, God just had to speak to me, and he says, I don't want you to be like them. I want you to be the best you that you can be, and that's going to begin when you have a right relationship with God. See, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm good. How can you be sure that you're going to heaven? Well, I'll tell you, it's not because you're good. What about this one? It's not because of my works. Can you work enough to go to heaven? Can you do enough good things to go to heaven? You know, sometimes I've had the privilege and the opportunity to talk to some of the people from some of these works-based denominations. The people actually feel like the more that they do, the better their chances of making it into heaven. They usually even use scripture out of the book of Revelation where it talks about the numbers, and they try to tell you that they want to be a part of that number, and if I can do enough, I'll be a part of that number. And you see them going up and down the road on their bicycles and their white shirts and their black ties. You see them coming up in your driveway, knocking on your door, wanting to hand you a tract. Folk, I look for them to come. Because the last time I had them in my yard, I had a young one and an old one. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I was in my garage. I was working on something, and I thought, oh, here they come again. And I said, I don't have time to fool with these people today. I'm working on something here. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, I've sent you somebody to witness to. And all of a sudden, I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes. See, I knew that voice, and I knew who it was. God spoke to me, and I walked over to where they were at, and there was one man. He looked like he was about 70 years old, and there was one that looked like he was about 20. And I just started to ask him, do you know that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? I want you to know something. Neither one of them could tell me. And I went into telling them why, that if I died today, I would go and be with the Lord. And it was without question. It was without dispute because what Jesus did for me. That older gentleman, that young one didn't know what to say. That older one, every time he tried to quote a scripture, I told him where it was at and what it meant. It got to the point that I honestly thought that man was going to kneel down right there in the garage. And God began to work on my heart, and the more he stood there and we talked, the more I tried to reach out to him and pour into him. And I told him this. I said, wouldn't it be ashamed to work all of your life, to spend all of your life trying to earn your way into heaven and never meet the God of heaven who's already paid the price? And the man, because of pride, turned and walked away. Why? Because he was too proud to say he'd spent his whole life in a works-based denomination trying to earn his way to heaven and not just receive the free gift that God has already given. See, you can't work enough. If you could, how much would it take? If you could be good enough, how much would it take? If being good was what it was about, and when you were bad, you lose your salvation, how much would it take? Is it a bad word? Is it one offense? Is it one wrong thing? Is it one thing that you do that displeases God? Because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. He knows every thought that we even have. And he knew what I was going to do all the way through my life, because God can see the past, the present, the future at the same time. That's why when the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, God knows everything about us even before he calls our name. So how can I be good enough? How can I work enough? How many are trying to work their way to heaven? Now, this is a strong verse that I'm about to read to you out of Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21. Listen to what this says. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, when you read that, I want to be honest with you, that verse bothers me. But there are people right in this place today Because this is works without relationship. It's head knowledge without a heart change or a new birth. And I want to tell you this, church. This is a Baptist church. Of course, we believe we're Baptist. And, you know, I grew up Baptist, but I've studied a lot of other religions. And here's the key, and this is what I want you to understand. We believe in salvation by grace through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God. In other words, it's about what He did and not what we do. But if you look at the world today and you look at the modern denominations today, and I did say modern because a lot of these are nothing but an apostasy of the last days as we approach the time of the return of Christ, any religion that teaches that you get to heaven any other way other than by grace through faith is a cult. Because they teach people that they must work their way to heaven. They must find an opportunity to get to heaven. That's why people will spend their entire life doing, quote, some type of work that they might earn the opportunity when they have never, ever met Christ for themselves. How can that be? But it happens every day. You know, I want people to be able to understand that it's great what God has done for us. You cannot work your way to heaven, and you cannot bypass a personal relationship with God. If I could work my way to heaven, we'd all be working. If I could purchase it, I'd be doing everything I could to purchase it. Could you imagine going down to Walmart where the gift cards are? And you walk up to the big square things. You know, I've walked around them and I've looked for the Amazon cards or the Cabela's cards. And I like Cabela's cards and Academy cards. Those are my favorite. But, you know, you walk around. And you look at the cards that are on it. Could you imagine one that gave you the opportunity to purchase credits to make it to heaven? And depending on how much you were able to spend, it would be what degrees you would have in heaven, or it would talk about what type of crowns that you would have in heaven. People would be doing everything. People would sell everything. People would do everything to get an opportunity to go to heaven. And if I were to preach to you today that you can work your way to heaven, I guarantee you we'd be a whole lot more people right walking down to sign up. But it's free. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we that have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, that's a new birth, that's being born again, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, folks, let me tell y'all something. I love God's people. I love being around God's people. I like what Brother David said when he got up here and he prayed. He said, you know, we may not know y'all, but we know the same God. And all of a sudden, he started feeling it. I knew it did. I felt it when God began to move. You know what it is? It's that kindred spirit. When you get up here and you start to sing and, you know, you see people that you've never been around before and all of a sudden you feel like you've known them all your life, it's because you've got the same daddy. How many of you got somebody in your life? It's okay to raise your hand right here and don't preach it, but it's a granny, it's somebody that's so good, that was so godly, you think, I'll never be able to live up to like that person. That's the way that I've always looked to my dad. And I believe my dad was saved. But I tell you who I know is going to heaven is me. Because I can't know for anybody but me. And you can't know for anybody but you. But I've had people in my life that when I look at them and I think about the way that they lived and I think about how good they were and how they served God, there's times that I've thought, God, if I had to be as good as they were, if I had to be like them, I'd never make it to heaven. But that's not why I'm going. That's not what it's about. It's about what He did for me. You see, you can't go based upon being good You can't go based upon your works. And you can't go based upon your name or your association. There's some people that think, well, if you go to heaven, you got to be a Baptist. Well, that's not true. Y'all know that's not true. I don't preach that way. We got people in this church from all over the place. But there are some people that will tell you, if you're not one of us, you're not going. But think about this for just a minute. I mentioned my dad, and you think about your granny, or you think about that mother, that person. Folks, I had a dad that I loved. He was a man of God. I watched him. It wasn't the messages. It was the life. He was a man of God. I was raised in a Christian home. That's not enough for me to go to heaven. I got to have it. You can't go based on what mom and daddy's got. You can't go based upon what the preacher's got. You can't go based upon that granny or that person that's in your life. Just because they're saved and they're close to God, that's not enough. You need to know the Lord for yourself. And I don't care what denomination you think you're a part of and how good that you think they are and how accurate you think that they are. Being a Baptist or a Methodist or whatever you want to fill in the blank is not enough. You must be born again. You must have a personal relationship with a living God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, latter part of the verse, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's you and God. There are things that I've been taught by the Holy Spirit that I could not learn anywhere else. And there are things in your life, as much advice as you'll ask for, any questions that you have, you'll never be able to get the answers until you learn from God. Because God wants a personal relationship with you. Have you ever really thought about what God wants? Sometimes people say, well, here it goes. God wants my money. Well, God's already got your money. It's just in your pockets. He can take it anytime he wants it, okay? Well, God wants me to work. They always want me to work. The Bible says in one place, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by our works. Works are just evidence that we know God. That's next week's message. We're not saved by our works. God, you say, well, God wants my money. God wants my works. God wants me to be good. Here's what God wants. God wants you. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to be able to talk to you and spend time with you because he loves you. Amen. That's what God wants. Why did God create man? I heard David Wilkerson speaking at a Paulding Pregnancy Center conference, said this, and it rang in my heart. He said, God wanted children. You know what mom and daddy want from their children? It's them. Just them. Can I tell you the times that I've talked to parents and they say, all I want is my son to call me. All I want is to hear my daughter call me. All I want is us to be able to sit down at the table and enjoy a meal again. God wants you. It's not because of your name or association. And also, it's not based upon emotions. I want you to think about this for just a minute. The Bible says that we ought to, you know, come before the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We believe in an altar here at Hiram First Baptist Church. And I can tell you, I believe in tears on the altar. I do. I believe that tears need to be on the tissues. They can be where you're at. They can be with you driving down the road. You can worship God, putting that CD on your favorite song and hitting repeat. You can worship God, sitting out watching the sunrise. You can worship God from a deer stand. I've done it many times. I don't know if you can worship God shopping or not. I'm still working on that one. It's not based on your emotions. But I tell you what. If you get a hold of it, I believe you'll be emotional about it. I've seen a little bit of that this morning. I tell you, it excites me. Sometimes people say, well, why does that preacher get so excited? Folks, I got something to get excited about. I'm not lost. And when God calls my name, I'm going to a better place. And the best days of my life here are the days that I spend in communion and fellowship with God. Does that mean I have to be in church? No, but the Bible does tell us we ought to do that, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. But what is right in my life and what's good in my life is the best days of my life is when I am in the place that I'm supposed to be in the right relationship with God. So if it's not that, how then can we know? I want to move through these. But I want you to realize as I say this, God loves everybody. First thing, the reason I know that I'm going to heaven is because Jesus loves me. Remember the song we used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you can say, well, God loves everybody. Yes, he does. But folks, not everybody loves God. You know, if I stand here today and I talk about heaven and how great heaven is and what it means to serve God, do you know that there are some people today that'll just look you right in the eye when you testify about the goodness of God and the grace of God, and they'll mock you and they'll say, huh, I don't want it. I've had people tell me I don't want to go to heaven. Well, I got news for them. They're not going. I'm going. See, I know because Jesus loves me, but this is also a reason I know I'm going to heaven, because Jesus took my place. It wasn't just Barabbas. He was on the cross in Barabbas' place, but here's what I want you to understand. Barabbas represented you. He represented sin. He represented the guilty. And when Jesus hung on the cross, all the sin of the whole world was placed on him because Jesus took my place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, speaking of God, hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know that as a Christian, you're a saint. A saint. Now, I've never been called Saint Joe, but I'm a saint. I heard a preacher one time, he said, he's called to do a funeral, and the brother of the person that passed away came, and he said, now, preacher, whatever you do, he said, I know my brother lived a rough life, and I know he was this, and I know he was that, and I know he did all these things, but whatever you do, when you get up in that pulpit, you call him a saint. And the preacher got up, and he just told the truth about him. He said, he's in the hands of a living and a loving God. He said, you know, it was rough, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. You know why you're a saint? Not because you're good. Not because you're perfect or you did everything right. It's because you traded places with him. So that when God the Father in heaven looks down and he sees you, he doesn't just see you warts and all. What he sees you is through the veil of Jesus Christ. And he sees you accepted. You see, I know, and how you can know you're going to heaven is because you have received a free gift. You see, something that's presented in the house of God, and we always want this to be available, is there's a free gift available to you. It's the gift of salvation. But you know, we can present it. You know, it'd be easier if I had the square up here and you could come pick a card and you could pay or you could do this work. But it's not like that. It's a free gift. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ever seen somebody try to justify themselves by comparing themselves to somebody else? What did the old Pharisee do? God, I thank you that I'm not like this old publican over here. That's not the way we're going to go. If you're able to have life and God has blessed you, it ought to, if it does anything for you, it ought to humble you and bring you down before the Lord. You see, there's a free gift, but here's the last one. You must accept and believe. Not everybody accepts. Not everybody believes. It wasn't that long ago that I heard, and it got walked back pretty quick, but there was a politician that got on the television, and they were making a mockery of their opponent, and they said, how can you vote for anybody who says that they believe in a God, and they pray and God hears them? Got walked back. You know why? Because politicians like to use the name of God whenever it's convenient. Because they can't get every vote. There's still too many Christians in America, whether they like it or not. Not everybody believes. Some people make fun. Anybody that asks me, I'm going to tell them. Because I'm going to heaven. And I know that a lot of you feel exactly the same way. Why can I say that? It's because of what Jesus did. And it's because I believed what Jesus did. You see, I accepted the Lord when I was 12 years old. And I did that because when the preacher was preaching, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and convicted me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. I can still remember where I was standing. I remember who was preaching. And I remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, he is talking to you. I was in a revival with Brother Earl Partain. Used to preach revivals for my dad a lot. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, let me know that I needed to be saved. And what I did is I went down to an altar at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and I knelt down and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. Well, what can a 12-year-old boy do? He can fight with his sister. That's what he used to do all the time. My mother, she said, you need to be saved. I got saved because God loves me. It didn't make me a saint. It didn't make me perfect. But it made me born again. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have a place in heaven. And when my time on this earth is go, or when it's over, or the Lord comes back, whichever is first, I am going to heaven. Can you say that this morning? If you can't say that, we're going to give a song in just a minute for an invitation. If you don't know for sure right now that if you died, you would go to heaven, you need to make that right. Amen. You need to come down. You need to come to an altar, and you need to ask God into your heart. Here's the free gift. All you have to do is say, Lord, that message was for me this morning. I feel that you're talking to me. And God, I want to ask you into my heart to be my Savior because, Lord, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. If you don't know for sure, here's where the shame's at. It's not a shame to be sitting there and say, well, I've been in church all these years. That's not enough. I've been good. That's not enough. I've given all this. That's not enough. The shame is not in that. The shame is sitting and never allowing God to do what he can do in your heart right now. You say, well, I'm just not sure. Be sure. I want to say this to you, and then I'm going to let Alicia sing. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. I got saved when I was 12, but I surrendered when I was 18. There's a difference. But I can remember going to revivals when I was about 18, 19 years old. Every time I went to church, I went to the altar when the altar call came. You know what some of the Baptists would do? They look over, and I could hear them sometimes. I wonder what's wrong with him. Wonder what he did. But here's what was going on. God was working in my life. God had called me to preach. God was squeezing on my heart. And what I was trying to do is find the place of peace that God wanted me to walk in. And I said, God, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. If every time I go in the house, if you call me, I'm going to go to the altar. What we need to learn to do in our walk with God, to be at peace with God, is to be obedient to God. And if God loves you enough right now to speak to your heart and call you to an altar, don't turn your back on him and walk away. Come, because God loves you, and I've got to get something else for you. The people in this church love you. So she sings this song. God spoke to your heart. You'd like to pray. Men, they'll get somebody to pray with you. Ladies, we'll get a lady to pray with you. Young people, we've got people that'll pray with you. God loves you more than you know. Would you please move if God spoke to your heart?